This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the third chapter of Ezekiel, as he had observed one of these unidentified flying objects, and the Spirit of God came upon him and transported him from the place where he was to an area where there were some of the captives known as Tel Abib, there by the river of Chebar, where for 7 days he sat down among them. And then the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, saying, verse 17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him, nor speak to warn the wicked about his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he has done will not be remembered, but his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. God has called Ezekiel to the work of a watchman to warn the people of the righteousness of God and his judgment that will come against those that do wickedly. Ezekiel was charged with a twofold responsibility. The Lord, first of all, said to Ezekiel, I want you to hear my word. The second responsibility then was to speak the word of God to others. This is always the method of God. To get a man who is in harmony with God, who hears the voice of God, and to use him as the instrument to speak to those whose ears are not attuned to God. There are many people, because of their lives, their lifestyles, will not listen to the voice of God. God is totally tuned out. So God has to get a person who is in tune with him. And through that person, God reaches or touches the person who is out of touch with God. God wants to reach the lost world. God reaches the lost world through those who are in contact with him. So it is necessary that I be in the place where I can hear the voice of God in order that I might speak the word of God to those who do not hear the voice of God. God is speaking. Not all men are listening. So God will catch those men who are listening, and he then makes them responsible to give his word to those who are not listening. Notice that Ezekiel was not called to convert them. I think that this is a very important thing to note, Because sometimes we become very discouraged in our witnessing for Jesus Christ because we do not always see conversions as the result of our witness. I was talking with a fellow a while back, and he said, "Hey, you can't convert me." And I said, "Do you think I don't know that? I know I can't convert you. I wouldn't even try to convert you." He said, "Well, I'm not as bad as you think I am." I said, "It doesn't matter." I said, "I've never converted anybody. If I converted somebody, they'd be in real trouble. It isn't my job to convert people. My job is only to proclaim to the people what God has said." That's all the Lord said to Ezekiel. You just warn them, Ezekiel. When you warn them, you've delivered your soul. You don't have to convert them. What they do with the warning is up to them. They are responsible at that point before God with what they do with the warning, but you are responsible to warn them. God is not going to reward me for the number of notches I have in my belt. I'm not a spiritual headhunter. I don't go around looking for trophies. God doesn't require that I win people to Jesus Christ. God only requires that I witness to people of the truth of God. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to convince the people of the truth, to draw them to Jesus Christ, and to convert them. So we need to realize that I am responsible. God holds me responsible to warn the wicked because I do hear the voice of God, because I am walking in fellowship with God. God uses those in fellowship with him to reach those who are not in fellowship with him, to give them his word, his warning. Now, in that token, God has called all of us. Even as he called Ezekiel, he has called each one of us to serve him. No sooner do I respond to the call of Jesus Christ to come, as he said to all men, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." But no sooner do you answer the first call of Jesus Christ by coming to him than you receive the second call of Jesus Christ, where he went on to say, "Take my yoke upon you." The yoke being the instrument put on the ox so he could pull a plow, the Lord is saying, "Let me take over the reins of your life and let me begin to guide you, for I have a work that I want you to do for me." And that work that God wants me to do for him is my primary obligation in life. Everything else that I do is incidental to the one purpose of serving God. That is why God has left me here. Do you think that God would leave you, his children, in this dumb, cruddy world if he didn't have a work for you to do? Do you think he wants you to go on with the misery and the heartache and all that is in this life, in a world filled with sin and wickedness? No, he desires that you be with him in the glory of his joy, where there is that absolute joy in his presence and at his right hand pleasures forevermore. The Lord wants you to be with him in his kingdom and to experience the glory of his kingdom. Jesus prayed, "Father, I would that those that you have given with me might be with me in the kingdom, that they might behold the glory that I have with you before the foundation of the world." Oh, what God has prepared for us is no way can you compare it with what this life, even at its best, can be. We hang on to these baubles. We grab for the beads. And yet God has so much more for us as His children. And He wants us to share the riches of His glory, to be with Him there. But He needs to touch this sick world. And so He leaves us here for a time that we might be an instrument through which He can touch this needy world around us. But that's all the reason why He leaves me here. That's the only reason why He leaves me here. He has a work for me yet to do. In the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, it tells about God's two witnesses that He sends to bear witness upon the earth, and how that their witness antagonizes so many people that they try to destroy them, but God divinely protects them. And if any man would seek to hurt them, fire will come from heaven and consume them. And they have power to shut up the heavens that it rain not during the time of their ministry. But then the scripture said, and when they have completed their testimony, the Lord gives the power to the Antichrist to kill them. But not until they have completed their testimony. Up until that time, they have divine immunity. The Antichrist can't touch them, nor anybody else. God is preserving them. God is keeping them until they have completed their mission. And when they have completed their testimony, then the Antichrist has power to get rid of them, but not before. God has a work for me to do. God has a service for me to perform for Him. And when I have completed my service to God, when I have accomplished all that God has purposed for me to accomplish, I don't want to stay around 5 extra seconds. As soon as I've accomplished the purposes of God for my life, the Lord is going to take me home. Because He's only leaving me here for the one purpose of serving Him. He needs those who are in touch with Him to reach those who are not in touch with Him. Now, if you're not in touch with God, He has left you here only because He is so merciful and gracious, and He's giving you another chance. God isn't obligated to keep you here. It is only by the grace of God that you're still alive. And the fact that you're still alive means that God is still giving you an opportunity to know Him. But God's not going to keep you forever. But the fact that you are still here, still living, means that the door is still open for your salvation. When the door is closed for your salvation, that's it. You're going to go. You're not going to last any longer. The fact that you're still alive, the door is still open for you to receive Jesus Christ. So we are all here by God's divine purpose. Whether I be a child of God or not a child of God, I am sustained and I am being kept solely for God's purposes. I am here to serve Him. Now, serving God is not an option for you as a child of God. It isn't, well, shall I serve the Lord or shall I not serve the Lord? You don't have that option as a child of God. Serving the Lord is your responsibility. Not a choice. It's your responsibility as a child of God to serve Him. God holds me responsible to warn the wicked. God said to Ezekiel, if you do not warn them, their blood is on your hands. You're responsible, Ezekiel, to warn them. But if you warn them, then the responsibility is upon them. You have delivered your soul. When I see the wicked doing their wicked deeds, I should warn them that God is not pleased with what they have said or with what they are doing. And that if they do not change and turn to Jesus Christ, God will destroy them. I'm responsible to warn people of that. Now, I am not responsible for what they do after I have warned them. If they laugh at me, if they mock me, if they make fun of it, doesn't matter. I have delivered my soul. I have fulfilled my responsibility to God. And that's what's important to me. To fulfill before God that for which He holds me responsible. Now, I'm not responsible to preach, to nag, to convince. I don't have to argue with people over the merits of Christianity in comparison with other religions. I don't have to defend God. I don't have to defend the Bible. I don't have to defend my faith. I don't have to defend the truth. The truth doesn't need defending. The truth can stand on its own. I don't have to defend the truth. I have to proclaim the truth. God has said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. God has said the wages of sin is death. God has said that there is no other way outside of Jesus Christ. It is my obligation and responsibility to warn people of what God has said, and God requires me to do so. You must warn them, the Lord said, and if you warn them, then they become responsible. I have to just simply speak the truth and not get caught in that trap of trying to argue or defend the truth. Now, if a person, of course, asks questions in sincerity, then I'm to give them an answer to the best of my ability, but not really to argue with people about God, about God's Word. Because, you see, they may win the argument. A lot of times when you tell the truth to people, they immediately try to argue it so that they can get it out of their minds. You see, the truth burns and it sticks. If you see someone doing something that is so wrong, if you hear someone just let out with a bunch of oaths, if you go up to them and say, you know, God isn't pleased with you talking like that. You've been blaspheming the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you don't repent and turn from that kind of living and those kind of words, God's going to destroy you. And then turn and walk away. Don't get in an argument with them. They would like to argue with you. Well, wait a minute. How do you know the... And through arguing, they can get the thing off their mind. If you turn and walk away, they can't get it off of their mind. It bugs them. The next time they say something, whoa, that guy told me God's going to destroy me. Whoa, you know. Wish he were here. I'd like to really tell him, you know. The truth burns in their hearts. They can't get away from it. Now that's all God tells me to do. Tell them the truth. Speak the truth to them. Now, if a person has made a profession of faith, and he turns back and he begins to live after the sin and after the flesh, I am to go and warn that person, look, fellow, if you continue on in fornication, God is going to destroy you. If you continue on in an adulterous life, God is going to destroy you. If you continue on in this lie, if you continue cheating, if you continue in these things, God is going to destroy you. Oh, but I was once saved. Look, I'm not going to argue with you the merits of eternal security. All I'm doing is telling you that God speaks about the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. And as he gives us the list of the works of the flesh, the adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, rioting, drunkenness, and all of these things, he concludes them by declaring, and we know that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not going to argue with you over that. That's just what God has said. That's what God has declared. I am not free to modify it, to change it, to alter it in any way. That's what God says. They who live after the flesh, they who walk after the flesh, they who do the works of the flesh shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So whatever profession that you may have made, whatever experience you may have had, is invalid. All of the righteous deeds that you may have done. Well, I taught a Sunday school class and I paid my tithes. God said, I won't even remember those things. You say, well, don't you believe in eternal security? Of course I do. But I also believe that many people have deceived themselves into thinking that they are secure when they are walking still after the flesh. And Satan has deceived them. And somehow they think that God is going to wink at what they have done because of some experience that they may point to in their past life. But they which do such things, God's word said, shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. God said, warn, speak my word, give forth the truth. That's all. Do with it what you want. I have fulfilled my responsibility to God. I've washed my hands. I've delivered my soul. I wonder how many people this past week we've let slide without a warning. We've watched what they've done. We knew it was wrong. But we sort of turned our head like we didn't see. And God's word says of them, if they continue in that wickedness, they're going to die. Now you warn them of that. All you have to do is go up and say, look, if you continue in that, you're going to die. God's going to destroy you. You better repent and turn to Jesus Christ. That's oftentimes all it takes. That's all you can really do. Now they're responsible. They're going to have to answer to God. They may defeat your arguments, but they can never defeat the truth. God's truth will stand. God's truth will burn. Just speak the truth. That's all God requires you to do. Just speak His truth to the lost. Shall we pray? Father, we pray that we might become conscious of this tremendous responsibility that we have, knowing Thy truth, hearing Thy word, to speak that truth to others who are living in wickedness, and to warn them of Your judgment to come. God, may we not alter the truth. May we not try to argue the truth, but just proclaim Thy truth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and you have not received Jesus Christ, for you to continue in your life, you are going to be destroyed. You're going to have to one day face God at His judgment, and you will be destroyed because of your wickedness. There, I've delivered my soul. Now you're responsible to do with it whatever you want. You can go back to the prayer room and get right with God, or you can go home and go to hell. I've delivered my soul. Now you're responsible. You see, when you stand before God, you can't say, "Well, I didn't really know." You're responsible for the truth. What do you do with it? I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and repent. Turn your life back over to God. If you've professed Christianity, if you've professed to be a Christian, maybe you are professing it today, but still you are walking after the flesh. You're caught up after the flesh. You're living in a lie. You're living in adultery, or you're living in fornication, or whatever. Hey, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's what God said. I won't argue it. I'm just telling you what God says. You better get right with God, or you're going to perish. I've delivered my soul. You're responsible for what you do with it. I'm just telling you what God has said. That's all God has told me to do. Tell you what He said. Now, you're responsible with what you do with it. If you're a child of God, walking with the Lord after the Spirit, I pray that God will just give you an exciting week as you have opportunity to warn many people. When you see someone doing something that is wrong, go up and just warn him and walk away. You know, he may not even know but what an angel came. Warn the wicked that God is a righteous God, and they that do wickedly shall perish. But those who will turn to Jesus Christ can find forgiveness and mercy and grace. Your job? Speak God's truth. Warn them. Deliver your soul. Whatever happens after that doesn't matter. As far as you are concerned, you have fulfilled your responsibility to God. But don't shun your responsibility to God, lest you end up with bloody hands when you stand before Him. God be with you. God keep you. In Jesus' name.